Okay, thank you very much. That's Friends with Benefits on WATD 95.9. Okay, tonight we are we have a guest, and we've been talking about telehealth and trying to keep up with today's hospital care and discussing how telehealth can save time, save lives, and save money. So with our guest tonight, she is Danielle Lauder from the Northeast Telehealth Resource Center. Hi, Danielle. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks so very much for the opportunity to share some information with your audience.
Yeah, thank you for joining the show. We've been discussing telehealth on the show each week and informing our listeners just about the benefits of receiving care in remote areas and even in our home, in our own home. So one week on the show, we interviewed Dr. Joe, whose show is on just before ours, and he's a psychiatrist on the South Shore, and he explained some of the benefits of the telepsych programs and how he's able to provide care with his patients, talking about privacy and how patients are not required to enter into public buildings where their identity might be exposed. He talked about having comfortable settings, whereas patients were more relaxed, speaking to a psychiatrist, you know, sitting at their own home, so he got a better cooperation, better answers. And most of all, less appointments were dropped using telepsych programs. It was pretty much from the ease of not having to travel and make those appointments and driving out to those appointments, and it avoided canceling appointments. But we're also, Blue Cirrus has also been very successful lately up here in the Northeast and working with Maine Rural Health Collaborative and trying to design a scope of work for their telehealth program. We've been implementing telehealth programs up in Lawrence, Mass. With the Merrimack Valley ACO, helping them roll out their telehealth programs and control annual costs and trying to increase quality. So Danielle, please tell us about what your role is at the NETRC organization and what services the NETRC provides to the New England area.
Sure. Thanks, Joe. So in addition to serving as co-director for a company called Medical Care Development's Domestic Public Health Portfolio, I also serve as the program director for the Northeast Telehealth Resource Center, or NETRC, as we love to call it, much shorter and sweeter.
Yes.
As a telehealth resource center, we provide technical assistance, education, resources, et cetera, to organizations and individuals who are actively providing or interested in providing health care at a distance. So much like Blue Cirrus, we don't necessarily work directly with patients, but we help those folks who are looking to help patients to access care in a better, easier way. Our simple charter from our funders at the Office for Advancement of Telehealth and our mission really is to assist in expanding the availability of health care to underserved populations and rural populations. And because we're federally funded, the assistance we provide is generally free of charge.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. That was my next question. How are you funded? So you're federally funded?
We are. So the TRCs or the telehealth resource centers are funded through a cooperative agreement under the U.S. Health Resources and Services Administration's Office for Advancement of Telehealth, or OAT, as we call it.
Okay.
Because our support comes from the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, a majority of our assistance is provided to those who serve rural and underserved populations. However, we work with stakeholders, any and all stakeholders, looking to implement or expand telehealth programs throughout the Northeast.
Oh, excellent. And how many telehealth resource centers are there in the country?
There are actually 14 across the country in total.
Wow.
There are 12 regional TRCs collectively covering all 50 states, D.C., and Puerto Rico, as well as the Pacific Basin territories. And there are also two national telehealth resource centers. The Center for Connected Health Policy is based out of Sacramento, California, or CCHP. They focus on the ever-evolving technology telehealth policy landscape. And the National Telehealth Technology Assessment Center, or TTAC, is based out of Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow.
And they really are focused on the immense amount of technology that's out there. And they're really they provide unbiased feedback on the different technology platforms, hardware, software, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
that folks are using out there to meet the need for the telehealth program.
Oh, that's great. And I know Michelle's on the line from, and we're with Blue Cirrus Consulting, and Michelle supports her TRC down in South Carolina. Isn't that true, Michelle?
Oh, yeah, we're really supportive of the TRCs. I'm glad to have you and have you here on the line, Danielle, and have you tell folks about them, because they're such a great resource to be able to assist organizations to move telehealth forward and take their clinical programs to a whole new level, right? It's just another modality to be able to deliver care to patients that can, you know, be a way to create labor efficiencies, to reduce cost, and many times, I think Joe mentioned it on the top of the hour, that, you know, this is a method to be able to reduce no-shows in the schedule, and we all know that clinicians are always overbooked, and they're overbooked because they intentionally do that for no-shows, so if we can reduce that, that might help all of us, even if you're not the one in the appointment that day.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks very much for your support.
Absolutely. So, Danielle, I'm wondering, when you are helping the folks that you work with in New England, what do you commonly see? What do you commonly hear from those folks about telehealth and how they might use it?
Well, so, you know, it really kind of runs the gamut. And what we find successful is that you just really kind of meet folks where they're at. There are people who are literally just hearing, you know, about telehealth, and they want to start digging in to what it might look like for their organization. A lot of folks need to know and want to know about the policy for reimbursement for telehealth services, or that might get into more logistical things like licensing and credentialing of providers, and or, you know, how do I switch up my current workflow to work with the technology. So developing workflows that incorporate that technology and don't get in the way. You know, they're making it more efficient to use the technology versus, you know, having to learn something new. You mentioned, you know, providers have a lot on their plate, and they sure do. So really the end goal is to understand the technology, have it be user-friendly, particularly for the patient, whether they be, as Joe mentioned, they could be at their home, they could be at any different number of healthcare sites, et cetera. But it really needs to be easy to use and pleasant to use and follow all of the appropriate guidelines for both the patients and the providers and the health systems, and it's and to make that impact in accessibility of care is really important. So it really, we get tons of different types of queries and questions, and that's what actually makes it really exciting for us. We love that.
Yeah,
every day.
I know it. And we're Blue Ceres is doing a great job up in Merrimack Valley ACO, which is the Greater Lawrence Hospital. And it was important that they had a champion up there who could kind of pull the different people who would be involved in telehealth, from the executives to the clinicians and the nurses and the corporate people, and getting on the same page was very important to understand, you know, what they were currently doing and what some of their needs were, and interviewing those people and putting a pie chart together of, you know, the different percentages of what was needed and, you know, what was probably not as needed as much was the biggest part of the, you know, getting the program started. Wouldn't you say, Michelle?
Oh, I think Danielle probably would agree, too, that when you're thinking about doing a telehealth program, really the needs assessment is you know, the keystone. You need to understand what the needs are. It's really difficult in this environment with all the investor dollars that are invested into telehealth, because it is an emerging market. There are a lot of vendors out there that are selling sometimes not the best solution for you, maybe for somebody else, but not for you. But, you know, obviously their job is to get their solution out there. So that can be really a draw when you see the marketing related to that, and you want to sort of wipe that away and not think about that, and really just focus on what are the needs that you have for telehealth. And in order to do that, you really need to do that analysis and that needs assessment. Danielle, do you have I'm assuming you have the same opinion. What's your thoughts on needs assessments?
Oh, absolutely. And it from so many different perspectives, as I mentioned before, it's really, you know, at the end of the day, it's about patients, providers, safety, security, ease of use. And by doing a thorough assessment, you can not only look at, kind of what's the need in this program that you're looking to develop here today, but then thinking ahead, that assessment can be so helpful to, thinking more globally and maybe even out 2 or 3, 5 years for what you want your program to be in meeting the needs of your community moving forward. So absolutely agree with you there, Michelle.
Danielle, one of my questions here for you was if you could just share or tell us some of the telehealth programs that that your service have helped develop, or maybe a vendor that you've worked with that helped develop a telehealth program. I know some of the needs that Blue Cerys was faced with up in Lawrence General Hospital was, they needed specialists, and they needed to connect to these specialists, and it would really help move things along. One of them being dermatology. I know behavioral health was a big one up there as well, but what have you seen?
Sure. So we actually serve all of the Northeast, so all 6 New England states, all of New York, and the northern part of Jersey, New Jersey. So we've worked with hundreds of stakeholders across the 8-state metric region over the years, including health systems, hospitals, community health centers, FQHCs, federally qualified health centers, rural health clinics. And we also work closely with groups focused on improving health access and outcomes, such as state offices of rural health, primary care associations, medical associations, broadband collaboratives. So it's really a multidisciplinary and multi-partner program and organization. But and I couldn't possibly name all of the folks that we've worked with, and I hate to leave folks out, but I can just kind of describe some of the specific projects. And since you're in Massachusetts, I'll talk a little bit about folks in Massachusetts. We've worked on a number of different projects and programs with Athol Hospital and Haywood Healthcare.
Yep.
They originally started out with, we helped them build a roadmap for a school-based telepsychiatry program that they were looking to implement.
Yeah.
And they have done such a phenomenal job taking that roadmap and getting additional funding from other, both the Massachusetts Health Policy Commission, and then more recently, a federal grant focused on evidence-based telebehavioral health, and we've been able to work right alongside them in each of those projects to expand that original roadmap and the first school site school-based telepsychiatry program to additional schools, which is just so phenomenal, and to see the outcomes that are associated with that, and many of the key benefits of telehealth that you've mentioned in other programs and that Michelle was mentioning earlier in respect to no-shows and even the secondary impact that it has in a program like a school-based telepsychiatry program with, it's impacting the students' ability to stay in school and their academics.
That's great.
Eventually when they're getting the services that they need. And it's helping parents with not having to take time away from work because they can use the technology to have, collaborative appointments and things like that. And it's just awesome.
Yeah.
There's another, group of federally qualified health centers that we worked with in Connecticut to build out a business plan for a teledermatology program because that was a real need for them. And it comes back to the needs assessment that Michelle and I, that we talked quite a bit about. It's really, looking at where are the key gaps and, can you use technology and telehealth to help meet those? And in that case, that was, the first program that they developed, and then later on they developed a teleretinal screening program within their primary care setting to help their adult patients with diabetes get screened in a timely way and help divert disease, retinopathy among patients with diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a large mental health hospital in the state of Maine that was looking to assess and determine which technology solution was the best for them. We worked very closely with them and did a whole process of, demonstrations and vetting of vendors that would meet their clinical need, the needs of their providers and their patients. So those are just a handful, and I'm trying to hop around a little bit with the different states, but that's the typical kind of stuff that we do and that we love.
That's excellent. We were following that Haywood pilot program last year. Remember, Michelle? And we saw some great things.
That was a great project. The most important thing I thought that came out of that pilot, or at least that rang true for me, is because of their school-based program, they talked about caring for kids at different ages, at the elementary school age, high school, and middle school, and that when they were doing behavioral health visits with those patients, that they didn't have good results at the elementary school level, but great results at middle and high school mm-hmm. level, and they were, if I remember correctly, I think it was both middle and high school, and mm-hmm. they actually had those kids messaging via telehealth, so the kids felt better messaging, because so many kids do that now, rather than verbalizing their feelings and their thoughts and whatever mm-hmm. was happening at that time. So I really thought that was a great way to get to that group and get them talking. I know I have a hard time getting my kid to talk just when he gets in the car.
Right. I thought I saw they saw over 60 kids in 1 month. I think there was a statistic there.
You're right.
I can't, you know, I just remember it was like more than like one a day. Like they were able to really push through a large group of kids, and like you said, some of these kids, it made it just so much easier, you know, and more confidential for them, and the parents didn't have to take time off of work to bring them to their appointment later at night or miss dinner, you know, with sports going on. So, yeah, behavioral health in the school, that was great for Haywood. And I did see on the diabetes that there was an early detection for blindness with that retinal scan, and that was something important mm-hmm. for telehealth and diabetes and coordinating that. What is it, like a store and forward?
Typically, yes, the teleretinal screening, and there's quite a bit of that going on across the region and the nation,
wow.
Really with some great results for that. And we've actually even had, you know, one of our partners that we've worked closely with out in Finger Lakes Community Health, they've actually been able to utilize their vastly improved teleretinal screenings among their adult diabetes population to negotiate an incentive payment through their regional ACO. So it's, you know, folks are getting creative
right.
in utilizing the outcomes from their telehealth programs to do really great things for their patients.
Wow.
Great.
Now, one of my questions here for you, Danielle, is, and you don't, if whatever you can add to this, is we're trying to understand if, seeing that you cover the Northeast, you know, who's sort of leading the charge in telehealth? And, you know, I'm afraid to say it might not be Massachusetts with all these great hospitals. Are there any pending bills in our state that are helping telehealth or provide reimbursement for telehealth services?
It's certainly all across the nation and all across the Northeast, there are hundreds of bills that are submitted each year for consideration in legislative session. There are actually 6 telehealth-related bills submitted for the Massachusetts legislative session this in 2019 that we're tracking in collaboration with our colleagues at the Center for Connected Health Policy. I mentioned them earlier. There are multiple focuses involved in these bills, and they can get fairly complicated, but they cover both private payer reimbursement and Medicaid reimbursement. Massachusetts is unfortunately the only state in our region and maybe in the country right now at this point that doesn't have a specific telehealth reimbursement law on the books. I hope that will change. The folks at the Massachusetts Hospital Association has tried diligently to pass legislation, and I know that they have bills, and many, many partners, stakeholders across the state are helping with those bills this year as well. But they also cover regulatory licensing and advisory boards, cross-state licensure, particularly for the nursing compact. Massachusetts is not currently part of the nursing compact, but they would like to be. Online prescribing and some other things. Again, there's several of them, so I would really encourage anyone who's interested in learning more about current reimbursement policy or tracking new bills across the Northeast or specifically in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
To contact our team, just because they can be fairly complicated, and usually we've got to dig down into the weeds a little bit to help people understand what they are.
Yeah.
The CCHP also has a fantastic website where you can find comprehensive resources related to state and federal telehealth policy, because the federal CMS or Medicare policy is expanding this year as well. And their website is www.cchpca.org.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, I would echo that comment about CCHP. Great resources for anyone
mm-hmm.
that's trying to do a telehealth program between the Netric Group and CCHP. You really have a little bit of a powerhouse there, and obviously we can toot our own horn here at Blue Sears. We try to be as helpful as we possibly can. I'm going to jump on that little soapbox of advocacy and regulatory policy points. And in case someone in the audience out listening out there doesn't know what this reimbursement policy is related to, this is the idea of those physicians, nurses, other types of clinicians actually being paid for the services that they're providing. So if you're getting those services at home, that seems convenient to you, or an easy way for you to get services for you or your other family members, and that physician is not going to get paid for that service, you can imagine that that disincentivizes them to provide that service. And although we have a lot of organizations that are still trying to do that and finding other ways to find money or reduce costs and things like that to offset the cost, it's just not right, in my opinion, to have this opportunity to be able to reach people in a different modality and not pay the providers of that care for those services. We wouldn't even think to not pay physicians for their use of a stethoscope, but when a stethoscope was introduced however many hundred years ago or more, it was a radical idea. So even though this may seem like a radical idea to some, it is a new way of providing health care, and I hope that the Massachusetts legislature understands that and will be the progressive state that they are, because they are the lone holdout, certainly in New England, and I think you might be right, Danielle, maybe in the whole country.
Well, I've been up to Senator Patrick O'Connor's office in Daria, and they're going to get involved. Both hands, our state rep, Patrick Kearney, is going to get involved. So we're going to push on our side for sure with Blue Sears and Friends with Benefits. Danielle, what do you see coming up in the new year for 2019? Any events we should know about?
Sure. So January has just absolutely flown by. I'm sure it has for you guys, too. But in addition to fulfilling just a flurry of day-to-day technical assistance requests, we're involved in a number of great projects, including but not limited to regional Project ECHO efforts, which is a little different than traditional telehealth or telemedicine. It's more of a medical education model that really focused on helping rural primary care providers enhance their skill sets and work at the top of their scope. We're also assisting two regional genetics networks with planning and implementing telegenetics programs across the Northeast. We're assisting a partner with expansion of their school-based telepsych program. That would be the folks at Athol. And we're planning for our annual conference in June. That's just to name a few things. We're also involved in some exciting collaborative efforts with the National Consortium of PRCs, including a webinar series focused on telehealth within federally qualified health centers, because as you guys know, they're kind of a they have their own set of rules that they have to follow, federal guidelines, et cetera, so it can be complicated there in respect to policy, and then developing additional new telehealth training resources in key focus areas such as opioid response, which is a big area of need across the whole country, not only our region. So those are just a few things.
That sounds great. I know we'll be at most of those. Blue Sears always supports the local TRC and all those telehealth events, and we're always trying to learn more and help process all that information and relay it back to the hospitals and improving their telehealth strategies. So that's great. Yeah, I'm glad there's a lot of events coming up this year to do that. I know we're scheduled to go down to Orlando, attend the HIMSS convention, which is a big one, over 40,000 vendors. And then there's ATA coming up.
Are you going to ATA?
We are, Michelle. Well, the Netric team and the whole National Consortium of PRCs goes to ATA every year. It's a great place to see new telehealth technology and folks like yourselves with Blue Sears, the network with national and regional stakeholders and leaders. And we'll have a national PRC booth in the exhibit hall, and we'll also be at HIMSS 2019 in Orlando, and we'll be at we'll be at the Interoperability Showcase Education Theater So, yeah, that'll be great to see you all, and we hope to see a lot of regional stakeholders there.
Yeah, we'll be speaking at HIMSS 19 this year, and we'll have our booth up at ATA, which stands for American Telemedicine Association. Looking forward to that. So, yeah, great. I appreciate your time today, Danielle. Thank you so much. We always want to provide our listeners with helpful information on this show, and I appreciate your help today regarding the Northeast Telehealth Resource Centers.
Awesome. Thank you so much, both to you and Michelle Doe, for the opportunity to share information about the metric and how we can be helpful.
Yeah, our pleasure. Have a great rest of your week, and let's follow up again. Thank you, Danielle.
Will do. Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Bye.